Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And Robert. It's December 22nd, and if you're listening, welcome to our special holiday show. Joining me on the helm this evening is my brother in the martial arts, Sifu Robert Beal. Sifu Bob, how you doing today?
You know, I am doing wonderful. It was, and of course, I have to, you know me, I have to share the weather out in L.A. with you,
okay.
Especially with
okay.
you. It was in the 70s today, beautiful, no jacket weather, a little chilly this morning. My buddy, Sensei Scott Jacoby is out of town, asked me to come in and teach while he's in the Philippines and Shanghai and Bangkok, so he asked me to teach for him for a few weeks.
Uh-huh.
Just absolutely beautiful weather, and then one of his students, I guess, found out I was coming down, brought his sticks with him, and it was really cool because he didn't go out and buy his sticks, he cut branches.
Oh, wow.
Like local, out of an oak tree and one out of a broomstick, and it worked really well.
Uh-huh.
Well, this guy says, here, Cecil, happy birthday, or Merry Christmas. And I went, wow, I didn't expect that. I get it back to the house, I open up, and it's a fifth of tequila. Wow.
Right on.
Does this guy know me or what?
Nah.
So, now, my daughter today wants to go see a movie. Said, Dad, can you take me to go see a movie? Didn't want me to go, just wanted me to drop her off because I embarrassed her in front of her friend, right?
Of course.
So, now, this movie happens to be playing at the mall that I took you to a year and a half ago, the one that's outside with the train running around it, that sort of thing, in Glendale.
Oh, right.
Now,
right.
In Glendale, there's two malls right across from each other, Glendale Galleria mm-hmm. and the Americana where I took you to.
It's
3 days. Well, I consider 4 days, well, 3 days before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize the traffic I ran into? And not on the freeway or anything else, on the street. The off-ramp was almost dead stop.
Oh, my
and
God.
She started to freak out because the movie starts in 10 minutes, right? And since we are in, and I'll just share this real briefly, then we can bring on our guest co-host. You know me. I hate to wait. I am a guy when it comes to shopping. I know what I want. I get out of my car. I go and get it. My shopping's 10 minutes tops. And that's if I have one, right? And a few years ago, my wife and I are sitting in Sears waiting to check out. And I go, come on, honey. It looks like there's a self-service checkout over there.
Uh-huh.
And she looked me in the eye and she says, do you realize there's one person in front of us?
Oh,
I went,
gosh.
Oh, guess not.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny. The holidays is crazy.
Oh, it is. Yeah. And my family hates to shop with me, and for that reason, they will not invite me to go shopping with them. When they say, we're going to go shopping, I drop them off.
I'm kind
of
the same way
we'll
when it comes to clothes. Yeah, we'll get into that. We'll get into that later because I'm like that any time of the year, not just Christmas. Like, you know, I hate shopping for clothes. You know how long it's been since I bought a pair of jeans? I hate shopping for clothes. You know, especially
because
I'm a weird size. I'm not quite a kid, you know, and I fit like the crazy women's fashions where you have to be 6 foot tall and 100 pounds. You know, it's like,
you just blew a zinger on me. I was going, okay, I'm going to wait for her to breathe, and then I'm going to hit her with it. And I was going to say, boy, it must be hell shopping in the kids' department. And you blew it.
Yeah, well, I actually used to get a lot of, like, you know, like sweatshirts and junk, and, you know, I wear like the 14-16 Husky. Oh,
well,
gosh.
Let's get on with the show.
Right,
I'm really excited about this. We've never done this before. This is, like, really cool tonight.
I know. It's really cool. So we have a special guest co-host joining us today. We've got Mr. Wayne Riley joining us. Wayne, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing?
We're doing awesome.
Great,
thanks for joining us. Now, Wayne has answered a question last week on our trivia question contest, and for the life of me, I forgot what question it was. But It was The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, not Riley. That's a different show. It's The Life of Riley.
Completely. Life of Riley.
God.
Yes.
Oh, I need more coffee or some of that tequila. I don't know. But but yeah, thanks for joining us. You answered the question about the original Secret Life of Walter Mitty, if I remember correctly. So, yay! Now, can you tell our listeners just a little bit about your background? Because I understand you're a martial artist also.
Yes, I am a seventh Dan.
Awesome.
I train in a couple different arts. The main one is one that we call American Isshinryu. We have just kind of taken Isshinryu up just another notch. Kind of made it for, you know, things for today's situations, you know, for self-defense and things like that. But we do a lot of tournaments and competitions around the area. So we stay pretty active. I teach traditional Okinawan weapons, a little bit of Krav Maga. So everybody gets kind of a mix of whatever I've trained in. You know, like
Heinz 57,
you know.
Very cool. Very cool. I kind of like the Heinz 57 thing. I'm a Kajakembo gal myself, so I'm all about the Heinz 57. Awesome.
Yeah,
well, thank
take
you
what
so
works.
Much for exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Throw the rest away.
Yeah, take what works for sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, thanks for joining us. I hope you're ready to have some fun.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, why don't we go ahead and get this show started then? So, listeners, our phone number here is 347-677-0699. This is our special holiday show after we do our first segment of Bob's Weird News and our health news and all that other good stuff. We want to talk a little bit about the season, about the holiday. We want to talk a little bit about some of the traditions that you and your families out there might share during this holiday season, or if you're a martial arts instructor and have special traditions that you guys do at your dojo during the holiday season, we'd like to hear from you a little bit later. So 347-677-0699. We also have a chat board, and it looks like we've got three people listening already, at least on the chat board. We also have a chat board, so if you want to share anything or have any questions and want to talk to me or Sifu Bob or Sensei Wayne, just go and type in the chat board if you're listening on the Blog Talk Radio show marquee. You're not going to be able to see that, though, if you're listening on Facebook. So if you start commenting on the link on Facebook, I'm not going to see it. You want to actually go to the link and start typing in the chat board if you want to go that route. But call in because it's much funner. All right. Well, let's get moving, Bob. I hear that you've got some birthday shout-outs that you want to do.
I do, and so it's almost like Kempo Week here and BJJ Week. We've got Master Frank Trejo, which studied with Ed Parker in the Ed Parker Kempo, American Kempo system. His birthday is the 24th, Christmas Eve. We've got Stephen Spry, another Kempo practitioner and the original owner of the Masters Hall of Fame. His birthday is on Christmas. One of our past guests is on the 26th, Mina Kim, out of Canada. Mm-hmm. We've got a good friend, dear friend of mine, Mike Ortiz, which is a BJJ instructor out of Canyon Country, studied directly, I believe, with Boyce Gracie. And then we've got an ambassador to the Masters Hall of Fame, Eric O'Neill Senior. His birthday is on the 27th, and I want to wish everybody, whether we named you or not, very happy birthday this coming up week.
Exactly. Happy birthday, everyone. Got a special tune here for you. tried to find a Christmas-themed birthday song. Couldn't find it. Couldn't find anything considering I just got home 5 minutes before I started to bring up the control board. But, oh, well, happy birthday, everybody. Right on. All right. How about some shout-outs? Any shout-outs or announcements that you want to make, Bob?
Well, you know, I really want to put a shout-out. I put a shout-out on Facebook to Grandmaster Rene Latosa for his good fundraising work for the Philippines, for the tragedy, for the typhoon.
Mm-hmm.
Fight on Philippines is what he called it, and it was this weekend.
I hope
much success with it, and I hope he brought in a lot of help for the Philippines this weekend.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
What was that called again?
Fight on Philippines.
Fight on Philippines. It was a like a multi-teacher seminar that was held at the Bayanihan Center on Mission Street in San Juan. And was it Saturday, Sifu Bob, or was it today?
I thought it was the whole weekend.
I think you're right with that. It was all weekend, and there, as far as I remember, I don't remember who all was teaching, but I know that it was like a multi-style type of a thing. There were Filipino martial arts teachers and kung fu and Japanese arts. I'm not quite sure who all was there, but I'm hoping that it was a successful event and fun for everybody. And that seems to be like the theme with some martial arts teachers that want to do fundraisers for tragedy victims, whether it's for the people that are dealing with the tornadoes down in the Midwest or Philippines or Vietnam. I don't know what kind of damage was done in Vietnam, but definitely the Philippines is still reeling from the typhoon last month. It's crazy down there. Absolutely crazy. But, yeah. Now, Sensei Wayne, do you have any shout-outs? Do you want to say hi to anyone? Do you want to give any events coming
up? I'd like to say hi to my assistant, Maria Wilson, my boys, Ian and Austin, Josh, and just the rest of the students at American History Karate Academy.
Awesome. Well, I'm hoping
your
students are listening. I'm hoping that they're tuned in right now. And
they're
going to
have push-ups if they don't.
Yeah, that's funny. Cause it's kind of like
games. I don't play games. When I'm on the radio, you got to listen.
Exactly. And you know what's funny is that when Sifu Bob interviewed me on my own show, right, he's pretty much threatening my students with push-ups if they didn't call in. And sure enough, nobody called in, and I'm like, see, I'm going to have to be the one to enforce this. Thanks, Bob. No.
I didn't make it mandatory. We're on a two-week break Christmas and New Year, so.
I hope some of them are listening.
If they could.
Yeah, 347-677-0699. That is our number.
The nice thing about this, Sensei, is our shows are all available on iTunes. They can always download it as a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Awesome.
Yeah, that's the cool part. People can listen to our show if they want, as many times as they want. It's pretty cool. Well, I've got a couple of shout-outs.
Sifu, we've got to tell them they can't search Dynamic Dojo anymore. How do they search for us to find us on iTunes?
They can search for the Dynamic Dojo because it'll pick it up. But our network name has changed, and this is why. Now when you go to Blog Talk Radio, it's blogtalkradio.com/SEIKA Network, S-E-I-K-A Network, mainly because we've got more shows added onto the network now. We used to just be blogtalkradio.com/Dynamic Dojo Radio or something like that because we were the only show for almost a year. And over the last few months, we've added like 3-4 more shows, and there's still more coming. We've got two new shows coming on pretty soon. In fact, we're going to be hopefully adding a show with Grandmaster Al DeCosco and Julia Nelsioni, and they'll be on the network here here coming in the middle of January. And we've also just syndicated Punchy Dan Heck's Kicking It Old School radio show that he normally airs on KCAA. Is it AM? I think it's AM radio in Loma Linda, California.
Yeah, 10:50 AM. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And yeah, he normally broadcasts live on that station, KCAA-MM, Loma Linda. And we're going to go ahead and syndicate a show and make it available through our network and through our iTunes syndication also. So, yeah, so that means we've only got technically one day left. we got one day available for any other shows. So we're really excited for this coming year. It'll be really cool. And our other shows, Reiki Radio is doing really well. The Legacy Forum is doing really, really well. And the Bucket List is also doing really well. So take a listen. So they can just search for Seika Network. So, yay! So that's one shout-out. That was a plug for our network. And I've also got another shout-out. This particular event isn't going to be happening until the beginning of February, but as fast as the time goes by these days, I figure I better announce it now before January breezes through, right? So we have, speaking of Grandmaster Alcascas, he's coming to the Northwest. He's going to be flying from Hawaii to Portland, Oregon on February 1st and 2nd. He's going to be doing a kind of a multi-teacher seminar again called Pacific Northwest Heat. So he's going to actually be bringing some of that Hawaiian heat over for our winter. And he's going to be teaching. Sifu Kevin Jackson is also going to be teaching, and he's going to be teaching a subject called the Kill Zone. Guru John Daniels is also going to be joining the teacher mix, and he's going to be teaching single blade, double blade, empty hand against the blade, and it's going to be cool. And Sifu Mike Mather, who is currently a one-hop-do Sifu in Oregon, he's going to be teaching Closing the Gap. He's going to be teaching stuff from the outside entry and also what he calls straight to the point and on the ground. So basically he's going to teach Christian Bash also. And I've never met people Mike Mather. I've only met him on Facebook, met him on the phone, met him, you know, through pictures and stuff. And this man is built like a brick beach house. It's and he will crash and bash with the best of them. So Guru John Daniels, Sifu Mike Mather, Sifu Kevin Jackson, Grandmaster Aldecascos, you can't miss this. This is going to be at Earth Ray, the World Martial Arts Studio in Hillsboro, Oregon, and that's located at 3075 Southwest 234th Avenue in Hillsboro, Oregon. And it's $150 for 2 days and $100 for only 1 day. So it really makes more sense, folks, if you're going to go to this, to try to do both days. Because $150, come on now. You know, seminars with these kind of names will cost anywhere from like $350, like $400.
Oh, yeah, easy.
Easy. So $150 for 2 days. And you can actually make checks payable to Pro Fitness Center. But if you come on the day of, they're only going to accept cash only. No checks, no credit card, cash only. Now, if you want more info and if you want to register, just go to www.profitnessctrmma.com. That's profitnessctrmma.com. Or you can call 503-861-7438. And if I remember correctly, I think Sifu Mike is hosting this, I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is. So go check it out, folks. Let's see, what else? Do I have any other shout-outs? I'm hoping to go to that because it's only like, you know, a two-hour drive from here. So I'm hoping to see the old buddies. Let's see here. I want to put a shout-out to Peter Schuler. He is known as the Karate Doc on Facebook, and he is a regular contributor to the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page with great medical tips. go check out some of his stuff on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page from Peter Schuler, the Karate Dot. Let's see here. Anything else? I think that's it for my shout-out, unless anyone else has any other shout-outs. You good, Bob?
I think everybody shouted out.
I'm good.
We shouted out. All right. Very cool. Actually, wait. I think I had another one. I thought it was about another seminar. I have to go to my other notes now. No, I lied. That was last week. Okay, never mind. All right. Well, let's move on to our health news. All right. So, it's winter week. You know, we know that. And everyone's celebrating throughout the season. People start celebrating right after Thanksgiving. It's incredible. But, you know, through all this merrymaking, even through all the love of the season and stuff, it's common to get really sick. I got sick a couple weeks ago. In fact, I think it's a cold that just never went anywhere. So I've just got some news here. It's not really not news. It's tips on how to not extend your cold, because a lot of us do make our colds worse. And a lot of what we do believe about the common cold is a myth. You know, like, you know, you can get a cold if you go outside with wet hair, or if you keep your window open, you know, and have a dirty room and junk like that. But, you know, if there's anything that is true, is that there's a lot of stuff that we do as mistakes that can prolong our cold and make us even more miserable. So number one, the number one mistake is pretending we're not sick. This never works. I mean, I used to be like that. I think we've all been there, you know, especially as martial artists, you know, we're just going to go to the dojo. For gosh sake, I don't care what stops us. I don't care if it's a cold. I don't have a fever. I'm going to the dojo. I mean, we like that, right? At
yep.
least once. Please tell me
oh,
I'm not
yeah.
the only one. Okay, good. Good. And the thing is, we can ignore it, you know, but the symptoms are things that technically we can't ignore. And, you know, more and more doctors are saying, you know, to not do the, you know, tough through it type thing and actually take care of yourself, because we know this, but the doctors have to remind us, your body needs extra energy when it's fighting an infection. If you try to push through, especially when you have a fever, you'll just exhaust yourself, and then it'll just make everything just awful. So don't pretend you're not sick. Stay home. In fact, I send people home. I've got students. We've all got students that will do the same thing. They'll come to the dojo unless they're carrying their coffin, because that's, you know, what they believe. You know, I gotta tough it out. I gotta be a warrior. You know, the guy out there that wants to beat me up or harm my family, they're not gonna care if I have a cold. I gotta be able to protect myself. So this is how I'm gonna train. And then they end up with pneumonia. And then they're down for a month. So, you know, what's the point? Been there, done that. All right, number two, not sleeping enough. That's me. I tend to do that, which is funny. When I'm sick, I can't sleep. Go figure. But getting enough sleep is key for a healthy immune system. There's a study, actually, that found that sleeping less than 7 hours a night triples your risk of getting a cold. And I didn't find the actual research or study documents on that, but I do want to, if I find it, I want to post that on our Facebook page. So, you know, your cold symptoms keep you up at night, which is what happened to me a lot. Doctors suggest that you go to bed earlier or take naps during the day. I don't know how that makes you go to sleep at night, but they figure that you do need the extra rest, so just go ahead and sleep when you feel sleep. Okay, number three, getting stressed. Now, we all know that stress makes us more likely to get a cold due to changes in our cortisol level and so on and so forth. However, over time, these high levels of cortisol completely stop your immune system from working normally, or completely kind of put it in a sense of limbo, I guess. So the result of that is more sickness. So it's kind of catch 22. If you're at work and you get stressed, you know, staying at work to get that project done, whatever, could make you sick, and you end up missing more days, and then you still don't get the project done. So take care of yourself. Okay, next one, drinking too little water. You need to drink a lot of fluid. Why? Because fluids will help thin your mucus, make your sinuses drain better, and just about any fluid will help, water, juice, or even the good old hot chicken soup. And contrary to what we've probably heard, milk is even okay. Now, I can't stand milk, so I never drink it anyway, but a lot of people do believe that milk will just...
I'm right there with you. I can't stand that stuff.
I can't stand crap. It makes me puke, and it's so... Okay, so we're all lactose intolerant in that aspect. But, you know, a lot of people think that it'll just make your mucus worse, and it's actually a myth. So, you know, however you get your fluids, go ahead and get it. However, coffee and soda don't count. Okay, I've had kids just drink coffee and soda while they're sick, and they keep telling me, well, Shifu, I've drank lots of fluids and stuff. I'm like, really? Coffee? Where's your mom? I'm calling your mom right now. All right. Now, that was drinking too little water. Another thing that'll actually make us sicker or prolong our cold is drinking alcohol in general. Now, too much alcohol can leave us dehydrated. We know that. It gives us a hangover, and it can worsen cold symptoms such as congestion. It stresses your immune system and potentially interacts with cold medication. So until you feel better, lay off the booze. Yeah, I know, right?
She sure does know how to spoil a party, don't she?
I know. I still do the nightcaps, you know, a little bit of rum with a little bit of honey. I mean, come on, you know, it puts me to sleep. There's two more. You don't want to overuse decongestant sprays. That's the next one. You want to be careful with those. They work really good at first, but if you keep using them, you'll just end up with a rebound effect. It's usually after about 3 days. If you keep using it consistently over 3 or 4 days, you just end up getting the rebound. It just makes your congestion worse. So be careful with those decongestants. And last but not least, smoking. Smokers tend to get more colds than non-smokers, and they get worse colds that last a whole heck of a lot longer. So, you know, we all know that, you know, smoking damages the cilia in your lungs, and it makes it harder for you to fight off a cold or get rid of all that gunky junk. So if you're sick with a cold, don't smoke, and don't let anyone around you smoke either. So how long have I been non-smoking, Bob? It's been almost a year, I think.
Has it been that long? I was going to say at least 6 months, 8 months that I know of.
Yeah, it's been almost a year, and it's been about eight since I didn't do any, like, you know, I'll have one, you know what I mean, that kind of thing. You know, like if I'm in a social situation or something, I'll have one, sure, give me one. So about 8 months, and you know what's funny though is that when I quit smoking, I got really hella sick. And people just say it's the smoker's flu, it's the quitter's flu, and it's going to continue to do that for anywhere up to a year or two until you get, you know, until your lungs fully heal. So, you know, after smoking for 30 years, it's, you know, these colds are nasty. And when they come on, it's just like, and all sorts of junk comes up. It's just awful. Yuck. Well, that's it. That's it for those health news. I think it's time for weird news. And, Bob, I really can't find the weird news thing.
Great. Great. So yeah. I get no intro tonight? She found the health news right away.
No, I was like, this is what happened. I went to go back, and now I'm on the sign-in thing again. So let me see if I can get back to the studio here. It says,
"Tune
into Blog Talk Radio." Oh, there we go. I'll get you your. I'll have it by the time we're done with weird news. All right, so weird news.
Nice try.
That's it for now. That's it. That's it. No, here we go.
Well, this one's strange. You know that chocolate is actually
found it.
Weird.
Found it. Here we go. Yeah. All right.
So, you all know that chocolate is actually toxic to a dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this dog, Mike Reese, Portland police chief, takes dog to vet after it eats too many marijuana brownies.
Wait, rewind. This is a police chief? No, it's his
a
dog?
Police. Oh, no, it wasn't his dog. It was another dog, but the dog ate marijuana brownies, and he ended up taking it to the vet. Now, this is new technology really sort of sucks. This chief shouldn't have done this, but it said, I lost my place, damn it. Oh, hey,
is that what he said?
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. It wasn't me, it was him. the Portland pooch bit off a little more than he could chew. Fortunately, she's okay now. Portland Police Chief Mike Reese, now this is what killed me, he tweeted a photo of the sick dog while transporting her to the vet on Monday. Shouldn't you have been worried about getting the dog to the vet?
Yeah, right?
Don't tweet a picture. I know. Portland Police spokesman Sergeant Pete Simpson told Fox 12 that the dog's owner is a transient. So, homeless guy owns a dog. The owner, and the shopping cart were all given a ride to a local animal hospital where the pooch was treated and released. The owner won't face any charges. Wow. That must mean that the owner wasn't part of it.
Right.
Who was feeding him the brownies then? I'm lost. Who was feeding the dog the brownies?
I know, right?
I know. They couldn't have been sitting there. It wasn't like the dog was in a home where the brownies were being made. This dog was homeless.
Wow.
And speaking of which, I feel sorry for anybody who's having it rough out there. I was down at the Albertson Center tonight just before the show, and I saw a whole family with a sign about please help us, and there were young kids involved, like six-year-olds, and I really feel sorry
man.
For them. I hope they find some help.
Yeah.
That was it for my weird news, and it doesn't get much weirder than that when you've got a high dog.
Yeah. With the munchies. With the munchies. Boinks!
I'm picturing Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo, I know.
Scooby-snack.
Scooby-snack.
Okay, now these are my weird laws.
Okay.
These are all from Japan.
Japan, this is going to be weird. Okay.
If a man asks a woman to go out on a date, she cannot refuse him.
Okay, that's stupid.
But that comes from the old way of life. That was their way. You do not refuse a man, whatever he asks of you.
Yeah, okay.
Now, this is a little strange.
Okay.
If an older brother asks to marry your girlfriend, by law and honor, your girlfriend must agree.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that going over real well over here.
Yeah,
on
right?
This side.
Yeah,
well, that's what samurai movies are made out of.
Exactly.
Or a reality show. That's a reality show in the United States. Jerry Springer, man. Jerry Springer.
It is illegal to cook blowfish for more than 80 seconds. Blowfish contains a deadly poison in the organs. Despite of the risk, blowfish dishes are considered special feasts in Japan. But you cannot cook it longer than 80 seconds.
I wonder if the cooking actually, like, concentrates poison, because normally if you clean it, right, you have to be, you know, you have to go through, like, school, basically, to clean fugu.
Right.
You know, and if you clean it wrong, well, then you're just kind of like the laughing stock of the nation. But if you clean it right, then a little bit of the poison still remains in the meat, and people eat it because it makes your mouth tingle. It won't kill you if it gets cleaned right, but it makes your mouth tingle. So I wonder if you cook it, if it concentrates the poison and will kill you. I wonder.
I'm assuming that's true because they're only allowed to cook it for 80 seconds. Any longer than that, it sounds like it will concentrate the poison.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up. Now I'm curious, but okay. Next
is,
from Japan.
It is illegal for the importing of photographs showing genitals is against the law. Now, you know, in the United States...
You know what's funny? This is Japan saying this.
Right.
I went to I got to tell this story just because it's really funny. When I was in Japan, I went to one of the largest bookstores. I mean, this bookstore took up city blocks, right? And I'm walking around, and I see all these guys, these young guys. So like in a corner somewhere, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's the porn section. Of course, I don't read Japanese. I just like look at a book, and I go, oh, it's porn. And then I see like this girl, women, like in a section. And I'm like, my gosh, you know, is it romance novels over here? So like right through this crowd, and they're all reading these magazines. And I pull one out, it's porn. I'm like, what are these women doing? Like a crowd of them looking at just the nastiest porn I'd ever seen. And I'm just like, wow, they're crazy.
Oh, well, seafood, does that mean you look at porn that isn't so nasty?
Good one. Good one. Good one. Ta-da. Boy, I tell you what, though, if you guys had seen this crazy jug, I look at porn that's not so crazy. Anyway.
Right. Women are legally obligated to wear bras in buildings with air conditioning. I'm sorry.
You see, they are insane.
Because the men were getting aroused looking at their hard nipple.
Oh, God. Okay.
Hundreds of years ago in Japan, anyone who attempted to leave the country was instantly executed.
Oh, that sucks.
Brewing anything over 1% is illegal in Japan. The penalties involved are up to 5 years in prison and or up to a 50 man yen, about $5,000 fine, in addition to the confiscation of your brewing equipment.
Whoa. So I guess if you want some of the crazy alcoholic content in your sake, you got to buy it.
That's right.
1%? That's not even near beer.
No, it's not.
Doesn't even O'Doul's or something, doesn't that even have
O'Doul's,
some, a certain portion?
I think it's 1%, yeah.
Something, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The night was better than O'Doul's. I mean,
A few years back, a Chinese soap, I guess soap opera, hit it big with consumers. It meant soap, an actual bar of soap. A Chinese soap hit it big with consumers in Asia. It was claimed in ads that users would lose weight with seaweed DFOT-scented soap simply by washing with it. The soap was sold in violation to the Japanese Pharmaceutical Affairs Law and was banned. Reportedly, the craze of the soap was so great that the Japanese tourists from China and Hong Kong brought back large quantities. The product was also in violation of customs regulations in June and July of 1999. Alone, over 10,000 bars were seized.
Whoa. Illegal soap.
Illegal soap. In the 1930s, a decree in Japan forbade the building of any large ocean-worthy ship to deter defection.
Oh, okay. So not only did they try to keep you from leaving the country, they would kill you if they found out. that's interesting. Okay.
The nationality law says that a child born out – now, this is interesting. If a child is born out of wedlock to a non-Japanese mother – is only recognized as a citizen if the Japanese father admits paternity prior to the child's birth or marries the mother before the child turns 20.
Oh, well then what, I wonder what the child is considered before that. Like, you know, let's say the son is born, let's just say, and, you know, the mom doesn't want to talk to the dude or whatever, and 10 years goes by. So I wonder where this kid, you know, what this kid is considered, like an immigrant? An illegal?
Could be,
I don't know. That's so
illegal
weird.
Alien like we consider over here? I would
wow.
imagine so. Now, there's three more real quick. Birth control pills were illegal in Japan until June 1999 when the Japanese Ministry of Health yielded to the demands of doctors in Japan and pharmaceutical giants.
Hmm. Okay.
This one's another interesting one. If a woman were to divorce her husband and have a child within 6 months of the divorce, the baby is legally the child of her ex-husband. Moreover, the woman cannot get remarried within 6 months of the divorce.
Hmm.
The Japanese Constitution is so-called Peace Constitution. And according to Article 9, war is against the law in Japan. Japan is the only country in the world that renounces war. Yeah, I found that quite interesting, too.
I wonder
that
if
means
this law came into fruition.
Well, and that means that World War II was an illegal act.
Yeah, yeah.
Under Japan law.
Under Japan law, assuming that it was a law back then. So I wonder, yeah, that's so weird. Wow. Very cool. Wow. Those were definitely weird laws and definitely...
Weird news.
Yeah, now it's the mind thing. Yep.
Yeah. I just got home, like, you know, 5 minutes before I called you, and it's like, I don't have a board. I'm just flying by the seat of my pants over here. Well, why don't we do this, gentlemen and listeners? Let's go ahead and take a short little break. We'll be back in about 3 minutes, and after that, we're going to discuss the meaning of the season and talk about holiday traditions from all over the world. And we want to hear from you, listeners. We want to hear about your personal traditions that you do or share with your friends and families during this season, whether secular or not. And we'd like to just hear from everyone out there. We want to hear about some of the stuff that you guys do this time of year in your martial arts schools as well. So we'll be right back in about 3 minutes. We'll talk
today
to you soon.
In school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The
only thing I didn't learn is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better, and kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And now, on with the show.
All right, and we are back. If you're just now tuning in, this is Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio with Rashida and Robert, and we are joined by special guest co-host Sensei Wayne Riley. Today's our special holiday show, so we want to hear from you, listeners. 347-677-0699. We want to hear about your family traditions when it comes to the season. How do you celebrate the holidays? Do you celebrate Kwanzaa, Christmas? What do you do? We want to hear from you guys. So I'll go ahead and start the show with talking a little bit about traditions from around the world. Now, because I'm Filipino, I'm going to go ahead and start with the Philippines. Because Christmas is huge over there. In fact, it starts in September.
It does anymore.
Yeah, right? When I was there in November, I was there the latter part of October and the early part of November. And I think it was October something. I forget. We were doing a show. I was doing a show in the Philippines, live from the Philippines. And I looked across the street because I was at a Starbucks, and I saw a bunch of kids with Santa hats on, and they were going from business to business and singing carols. And I was like, what is going on? They had just gotten done. We had just gotten done with All Saints Day, which is, you know, our Halloween. They'd just gotten done with that, and boom, all of a sudden it's Christmas. And I was like, are you serious? But I just want to go over just a few things about Christmas in the Philippines. So in the Philippines, we call Christmas Pasco. Now, Pasco actually comes from the Spanish word Pascua. Even though the word Pascua tends to mean Easter in Spanish, we would say Pascua de Navidad, which would refer to Christmas. Now, we're known for having the world's longest Christmas season. The 4 months, and when I say it starts in September, I'm not joking. The 4 months that end with the syllable "ber": September, October, November, December, are considered Christmas months, which is why stores and households start playing carols on the first day of September. And the holiday extends way beyond December 31st. It doesn't end until the Feast of the Epiphany, or Three Kings, is also known as Satlong Hari, which falls around January 6th. Oh, my gosh. This ain't the 12 days of Christmas. Like, you know, 5 months of Christmas. Now, if Mexico has piñata, the Philippines has what we call paro. The paro is not like a piñata in that you don't get to hit it with a stick, though. It's a Christmas lantern. And this lantern is most commonly in the shape of a five-pointed star. And paro is usually made by school children in their schools, either with paper and small sticks of bamboo or using rattan as a frame. And they use tissue or cellophane. And almost every family builds their own paro, or they can buy one to hang in the window or in the door. And shopping malls construct huge paro. And traditionally, a candle was placed inside the paro for light to shine through, but we know that's stupid. It's like putting real candles on your Christmas trees. And as far as gift giving is done all throughout the Christmas season. But nowadays, because of the influence of Western tradition, this gift giving or pamasko is usually done Christmas Eve after going to Mass or on Christmas Day. And usually when you get pamasko, if you're a kid, and get pamasko, you usually get from your ninongs or your ninangs, your godfathers, your godmothers, or your grandparents. You get fresh currency in a little envelope, and which means why, you know, every Christmas, you know, when I was a kid, it was like, you know, go kiss Uncle Rudy. He'll give you aguinaldo, right? So you got to go pay your respects to the relatives, and then they give you money.
Yay, Christmas. I like that tradition.
I know. It's great, you know. But, you know, it's almost like the nightmare that every kid has to go through, you know, especially when you're scared of that, you know, particular auntie that really isn't blood. It's friend family, and, you know, they wear that horrendous perfume and cake on the makeup and stuff like that. That was me. I was afraid. I was afraid of those relatives. Now, as far as the religious part of Christmas in the Philippines, the Catholic Filipinos begin a novena on December 16th. And the masses are a very important religious tradition of the Simbang Gabi. Simbang Gabi means like night worship, or to worship during the evening. Filipinos go to church at 4 o'clock in the morning and afterward have breakfast together. A traditional drink during this season is warm ginger tea called salabat. An additional treat, which is a flat but thick yellow rice called rice cake called bibingka. Bibingka is my favorite, and if you guys haven't had it, go to a Asian store or a Filipino store and look for bibingka. It is the densest. If you imagine kind of like leche flan in a really dense cake form, you've got bibingka. And it's the coolest thing with strong coffee. It's awesome. So check it out. Anyhow, on Christmas Eve, also known as Vísperas ng Pasko, a few Filipino towns commemorate the journey of Joseph and Mary. And they reenact the whole situation where they're looking for a place to stay. And they call this Panunuluyan. Say that 10 times fast. And this particular,
I
like...
I can even say it one time slow.
And apparently this particular reenactment of the journey of Mary and Joseph is even done by children, you know, during school plays and stuff like that. And it's just the cutest thing ever. And this tradition is very similar to the Mexican tradition of posadas. Now, what every Filipino looks forward to, including me, is a Noche Buena, the grand family dinner after midnight mass. Christmas morning is the time for visiting relatives. Filipinos wear new, if not their best, clothes during this time. The children go around and they do the manopo, which is paying respect to the elders and hoping they're going to get a Ginaldo. And then Christmas lunch and Christmas dinner are usually within the immediate family. So that's just some of the things that Filipinos do in the Philippines, and a lot of these traditions have passed on to even the American-born Filipinos, including myself. I'm about as American as they come. But as far as traditions and food and everything else, I'm as Filipino as they come. So pretty cool stuff. Now, let's bring the mic over here to Sifu Bob as we get into some other countries. Now, there's something that you had mentioned earlier about the origins of, like, Santa and stuff like that, correct?
That's right. Now, we do have a call on, and I think I know who it is. But well, I do want to discuss that a little bit and then discuss with our co-host and the person on the phone is their tradition over here. What do they do for Christmas?
Okay.
Santa Claus, also known as St. Nicholas, Father Christmas, Kris Kringle, and simply Santa. And this is where, if there's any innocent children listening, please send them to their room for a minute. This is a mythical figure with legendary, historical, and folk origins who in many Western cultures is said to bring gifts to the home of the good children on December 24th, the night before Christmas. However, in some European countries, children receive their presents on St. Nicholas Day, which is December 6th. Hmm. The modern figure of Santa Claus is derived from the Dutch figure of Sinterklaas, which in turn has part of its basis in, I can't even pronounce that because I'm in dim light, but some of them are like folk tales concerning the historical
folkloric
figure.
Yeah,
right. And in the historical figure of Christian bishop and gift giver St. Nicholas during the Christianization of the Germanic Europe. This figure may have absorbed elements of the god Odin, who was associated with the Germanic pagan midwinter event of Yule, and led the wild hunt, a ghostly procession through the sky. Over time, traits of the character and British folklore character Father Christmas merged to form the modern Santa Claus known today. And, of course, Sensei Wayne, you do realize now why Sifu Rusty pronounces most the hard words. And I do want to say,
you know,
I checked it on Facebook that we were doing the show, and I want to say that Sensei Wayne's daughter, Lisa, liked my post on Facebook about being on with her father.
Oh, right on. Very cool.
That's my baby girl.
Yay. Awesome. Well, should we take the caller, Bob?
I think maybe we should. She's been on hold a while.
Okay. Air code 909. You're on Dynamic Dojo. Who's this?
This is April Vidal. Hello, everybody.
Hey April. It's our host of the Bucket List here on the Seiken Network. How you doing?
I'm great. I have been listening to the show since it started, and this is a fun one. I have been sitting here thoroughly entertained.
Good.
Just loving it. I wanted to kind of, first of all, thanks for having me tonight. I wanted to let you know something back on your health segment, what you were talking about earlier about some of the things to do when you're or not to do to prolong your cold and keep things healthy. Mm-hmm. I have very severe allergies, and something that I did different about 3 weeks ago, I noticed that my allergies were acting up really bad, and I decided to prop myself up because my allergies always seem to turn into a deep congestion in my chest, and next thing you know, then I'm in for bronchitis, and I mean, it just goes on and on. But I sat up in bed, I propped up pillows, and I actually slept almost, you know, vertical, and I did it for three nights, and I did not get sick. So for those of you with allergies, because, you know, you've got all that gunk going through your nose into your throat, and just by simply sitting up and, you know, every time I woke up, I took a little sip of water like you were talking about with fluids, and just a little tidbit of help there that if you, you know, the minute you lay down, that junk is just sitting there, even from allergies. You don't even have to have a cold. So that was one thing. The other thing is, I got to tell you, I keep looking at, you know, on the internet here, and I'm looking at your little symbol flashing. I love your little karate Santa. He's so cute.
That was great.
Isn't he just
He's
a little
so
cutie?
He kind of looks like Bob. He reminds me of Bob.
That old guy. Thank you, April.
No, I meant he was cute. And then my other question is, why are you sitting in a dim light, Bob?
Because I'm sitting outside enjoying this weather because in Southern California, we can sit outside right now.
That's true. We can. Well, I was just going to share with you guys very briefly, and then I can't stay on too long, but I was going to tell you what we do for the holidays, and I'm not going to get into all kinds of you know, historical facts or so forth, but basically what our holiday season is very busy. I celebrate Hanukkah. Both of my parents are Jewish. My husband is Protestant, which is interesting because, you know, he's also Filipino. His mother was Catholic and his father was Protestant. So, you know, they took on the Protestant end of the religion. And so my children being born from me are born Jewish. So my husband being Filipino and me being Jewish, we call them flus because they're Filipino Jews.
Oh, that's funny.
And I thought that was cool because that ties into how not to get a cold. Right, so we're talking about cold and flu season. I'm like, well, I got four little flus, okay? But I got to tell you, I was not happy with this year's calendar. The one thing I can share with you, a lot of people do not understand why the Jewish faith, why is Hanukkah always at a different time? A lot of people are like, well, when's Hanukkah this year, and why is it different? The Hebrew calendar is 13 months, where ours is 12. So that's why you get the rotation. And this year, if I don't know if you're aware, but the first day of Thanksgiving was Hanukkah. So when it's on your calendar, whatever day it starts, you can know that the Jewish faith is celebrating the eve before, and we light our we light a candle each night, and we begin our prayers and our candle lights and our dinner and our celebration each night at dusk. You don't do it prior to that, and it's very tricky because you. I always have to remember, I'm not an Orthodox Jew. I was not raised Orthodox. And I always have to look at the book. Now, how do I do these candles again? Because you start from the right side of the tallest candle, which is called the Shamus, which is the helper candle. But you light them from the left to the right, but you place them from the right to the left. So it gets, and I'm left-handed. I'm dyslexic. I've had it. I just, you know, light the candles for God's sake. So we do that, and then of course, then we also celebrate Christmas. In honor of, you know, what my husband, you know, believes, and so we're very two different sides of the spectrum, being, you know, Jew and Gentile, but with our children. They've had kind of the best of both worlds. We've taught them to appreciate all religions, all cultures, all race, and we've kind of left it to them to choose, and they've They're all over 18, and they all enjoy celebrating both. And they're just, I think what they're going to do is when they have children, they're going to do the same thing. And then the last thing I was going to let you guys know, I don't know if you guys have been checking out my Facebook, but I have a new thing that I'm doing this year, and I've really got myself in a pickle doing it, is I'm having a photo contest. And we have decorated our house very different this year. We did Christmas around the world, but it looks like it's a small world at Disneyland. So it's really cool. We have all different country flags outside. We have, I made poster boards, very heavy, nice, rain resistant, if you will, signs that all say happy holidays in different languages all over my yard. And Daryl made by hand the replica of It's a Small World, all the different shapes on white with gold and silver, and we've got lights and we've got the music playing. Well, I started this crazy idea. Let's have people sneak on our front lawn and take pictures and then post it on Facebook, and they'll get a prize.
Cool.
The winner will find out Christmas morning who won. Well, I need help from you guys because the same thing I did, well, I didn't say one person per picture. So now I've got these crazy ladies. If you look on my Facebook last night or the night before, listen, I've got five ladies that all are holding these nutcrackers. They're in front of my house. And they're saying, ladies.
The word guys?
There's no guys because they're not the big crackers. But there's these five women holding nutcrackers, and it's really cute. But if they were to win, I've got to give five prizes, so I need your guys' help. What do I do? Suggestions.
Well, if this wasn't like a big prize that you were giving to one person, right? It wasn't
well,
like
here's
anything
the deal.
Big.
I didn't tell them what they were getting, so I figured I'd give them each a can of nuts if they win.
Good one. I'm looking at some of these pictures, and I'm seeing pictures with people. It looks like they've got tutus on their head.
Oh no, that's different. Now that's interesting you ask because
I
actually, this is way off subject, but I'll tell you real quick what that is. I am actually, I'm a dance instructor. You guys know that. Listeners may not, but I have a very dear friend who just underwent a very, very complex surgery. She's battling cancer, and I decided to do something fun with tutus, and I've been inviting her friends, some people I don't know, and they're coming over, and I'm doing photo shoots for tutus, funny things, just to keep her smiling. That's all.
Aww.
That's what that is.
Aww.
Yeah.
It's just,
cool. That is
so cool. So that has nothing to do with the contest, but I don't know what to do about that.
Okay. So I'm looking for these pictures, like with the women with the nutcrackers. Where do I find these?
I think they were yesterday. If you bypass the couple with the tutus, there's a husband and a wife with the tutus. If you go backwards from that, you should see there's five ladies each holding a nutcracker, and then before that there's a girl. Who's laying in my water. It's a small world water. She's swimming. I've got 11 people that have sent in pictures, and three more asked me today privately, on my messages, how do I enter your contest? So, I was going to just do, my thought was maybe to do, two tickets to the movies or a trip to Starbucks or something like that. But the problem is all the pictures are fun, and I'm almost thinking I might have to call on someone else to be my judges because I was just thinking one person per photo. But it's kind of a fun thing, to do during the holidays. I mean, anybody can do it. That's why I wanted to share it. You don't even have to have a display in front of your house. You can just have lights and do something fun like that. But you better be prepared for the ladies with the nutcrackers. But how are you guys enjoying your holidays?
It's great, April. I've only got one nutcracker in my house, and I've been married to her for 28 years.
No. That's funny. Wait. Is she a nutcracker or a ball buster? What?
Can I just say
you're
yes?
Different?
Well, yeah, you know, they're different approaches. Oh, boy.
Oh, gosh.
And then comes the puffer fish.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't know what to do about the contest thing. It's kind of like, oh, my God. Now I'm thinking about it. I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, what happens if there is just, if there is like a picture like with more than one person in it and the judges pick that one as the coolest
right.
of the season.
Who's responsible? You, me.
Yeah. Right? Oh,
well, I guess
gosh.
You
I
learn,
don't...
you know, when you try something new, you learn something, but, you know, you guys can help me out, you know, send me some messages and give me some suggestions because the other thought I had would be to maybe make some kind of a certificate for everyone mm-hmm. that participated and maybe call it, you know, the most creative, the most entertaining, you know, whatever. And they get the certificate and then the winner gets an actual prize. You know, that's so, I mean, I don't know. That's just a thought I was having
that
this
would be
morning.
Cool.
That's
you
a,
think
that's
so?
Yeah, that's a good
right.
idea, April.
All yeah. right. I'm always good trying idea. To think of crazy things to do. I don't know what I was thinking with this one. Even my husband, Daryl, said, so what's the prize? Said, you know, I really don't know what the prize is. I said, you know, maybe you can figure that out. He goes, this isn't my thing here. But I will tell you too, Daryl just had a great potluck celebration at his dojo on
cool.
Thursday night. Yeah, and normally there is one of his students that, you know, helps him out. Since I'm not there much because we teach dance and karate a lot on the same night, she takes over and she arranges it and she helps. Well, this year she was too busy. She had some situations. She was not able to help Daryl. So I stepped in, and I made the flyer and passed them out and got it all organized. And we had them bring dishes according to the color of their belts. And what happened was when I came and I set it all up, you know, we had a lot of food, great food. But one of the gentlemen came up to me, and he said, hey, thanks, but you're Daryl's wife, right? And I said, yes, I am. You know, nice to meet you, whatever. And he said, wow, this is really nice. I can't believe how much food there is and the decorations. And, you know, Daryl had everybody line up and try to, you know, they did the board breaking. That was a lot of fun because some of the kids, you know, they don't get the opportunity to try it depending on their age and their level or their rank. And so he says, so I just have a question for you. I said, okay. He says, so who made the flyer this year? It's very different than in the past. I said, oh, I did that. He said, oh, did you grow up in the military or family? I said, no. Why? He said, well, after reading that flyer, I didn't have any questions. He said, you were extremely thorough. He said, I just thought you were in the military. And I just kind of looked at him and I thought, what the heck? But I guess because I was very firm about, you must be there at, you know, whatever time, and you must bring this, and there will be a picture exactly at 7, and if you're late, you will miss the picture, and, you know, and so
be there at 0600 or whatever, right?
That's right, exactly. But that's kind of what he does. He has a demo. His junior karate comes, which are age 4 to 6, and they do their little half-hour class, and then after that, all classes, because this is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's the one time a year that all his classes are together. It's the only time.
Uh-huh.
And so they all get together, and then what he does is he lets everybody do a demo so they can show, you know, the younger ones can see what the older ones do. They see some sort of, you know, where am I going from here? And then everybody kind of feasts, and then after that kind of winds down, we do our group photo. And then he has this huge, you know, 2 or 3 lines of board breaking. So it's a lot of fun. And then everybody goes home full and happy, and their geese have, you know, Jello on them, and What was supposed to be a white belt. Yeah, a white belt beginner now is a, you know, a green belt because they have cookies on them and whatnot. But basically, I mean, there you go. I think I've covered it all on our end.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Very cool. Well, if we think about anything about the contest years, we'll have to message you.
Well, thank you. Hey, I'm going to let you guys go and get back to your show, and thank you for having me. And this one, I have to tell you guys, I think this was until I called in, it was my favorite show. You guys were hilarious.
Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And it was very informative as well. I enjoyed that. And I didn't know. I am now going online to read about pufferfish. I didn't know any of that. So you guys have a great night and happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
You too, April.
Thanks, same to you, April.
Okay.
See
bye-bye later. Now.
Bye-bye. And
you know,
that was
April,
April Vidal. Yes.
That is a great idea. Colored food. To your right,
yeah.
like black belt can bring in blackened salmon, green belt
yeah.
can bring in jello.
Yeah.
Some of them have to be really creative. Brown belts, what do they bring in? Bacon.
That is creative. I like that. And the
yeah.
thing is that, you know, if we've only got like one brown belt and it's like, and a bunch of white belts. I mean, how does that work? You know, white belts, yeah, purple belts. Let's see. We don't have very many upper belts. See, yuck. Anyhow, listeners, 347-677-0699. Letter from you guys. We want to hear about any holiday traditions or themes that you have during the holiday season at your dojo or at your home. So give us a call, 347-677-0699. Well, before we get back to the world cultural traditions, Sensei Wayne, do you have any cool traditions that you do at your dojo or your family?
No, not really at the dojo. We've kind of, in the last couple of years, kind of moved around. We've shared some spaces, and we're just kind of slowly coming back into our own. We had a pretty nasty breakup, so we're looking forward to the new year because our split was pretty bad. But we did some pretty cool things at Christmas time. Everybody brought in a dish, and if you wanted to wear your uniform, you could, but, you know, most chose not to. We had a ping pong table, card table set up. All of us are all big board game lovers. So there's board games, you know, all over the dojo, or used to be anyway. But now, you know, we've got a lot of new students, and we're just getting to know them. We were talking about having a Christmas party this year, but with about 3 or 4 or 5 days to plan, I thought, nah, best not.
Yeah.
So we're going to wait till next year and see what we can come up with, you know, something that we can continue to do year after year.
Yeah.
So we used to have a white elephant gift exchange with the other shared school. We had the stone soup story, and everybody brought something to put in. We had soup, and just glad no one brought a bunch of rocks, so that was good. But but we did have kids ask, you know, can we bring real rocks?
That's actually a wonderful idea. I love that idea, like a shabu-shabu party or something. Everyone brings something and just put it in a box.
Yeah, it was really fun.
That's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah, we had one of the ladies that trained with us, she was an author. And so she spoke good when she read, so she would read that stone soup story, and the kids loved it, and I mean, I enjoyed it. Just listened to the story. We're big readers for the most part at our house.
Very cool. Well, April
awesome.
Just messaged me. She said that yellow belts brought desserts, brown belts brought salads.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that makes sense
idea.
Because there's not many of them, right? Because you
oh,
know what
brother,
I hate?
What do I bring?
I know, right? You know what I hate is when people bring ketchup. Like we used to have a holiday potluck, and what I used to hate was when unless we, you know, divvied out the responsibilities, everyone would bring chips, right? And it's like really. Really? Then we'd have to go to the Chinese restaurant next door and then order food. And we're like, really? You brought chips. 20 of you brought chips. And then, like, everyone else that brought regular stuff, you know, like ribs, you know.
But, you know,
good.
Every family's got them.
Yeah. Yeah. They bring chips and then they pile their plate like they haven't eaten in 2 days. And it's
oh,
like,
yeah.
Really? You guys?
Yeah. I'm gonna bring some pop. They bring a 2 liter.
Yeah, right?
Right, yeah, for 30 people, yeah.
30 people, yeah.
And I just want to go, you just wait till you take your next test. All right, now this is the rest of what April says. She says, okay, brown belts brought the salads, green belts brought side dishes, blue belts brought hors d'oeuvres, purple belts brought drinks, black belts brought table decorations and paper goods. So... pretty cool. And then she had
yeah,
a photographer
cool.
1 year take a group photo and take action shots of everyone trying to break boards. And Daryl finished the night breaking a rock. Yeah.
Now, see, rock. when she asked Daryl, when Daryl asked her, what's the prize for the photo contest, you know what my wife would have said? Whatever you feel like buying.
Oh, man. Well, it looks like we've got another caller on the line. Let's go ahead and take the caller.
Nice.
Area code 516 here on Dynamic Dojo. Who's this?
Hi, Dynamic Dojo. It's Violet Rose.
Hey, how you doing,
Violet.
Rose?
I'm doing
Rose?
Good. I knew there was a reason why I liked purple belts.
The purple
belts.
They
bring the drinks,
what?
Eh?
They brought the drinks. That's right.
Yeah,
purple belt brought the drinks. That's right. And black belts brought the decorations and had to work at decorating. That's awesome. But for our listeners out there, this is Rose Jimenez. She is the host of Violet Reiki Radio on our network, which airs on Thursdays at 6, if I remember. And April was on earlier, and her show airs 9 a.m. Pacific time. This is all
right.
Pacific time. 9 a.m. Pacific time on Fridays. And it's a great show talking about goals and dreams that you have before you pass on. Go check that out too. And Rose's show is all about the spiritual art of Reiki. So you're going to have some fun with us, Rose?
Oh, sure. I'm always up for some fun.
She sounds like she's really excited to be here.
I am.
Well, share with us. We were going to go into England as far as Christmas traditions from England. Do you have any cool traditions or things or ways that you observe the holiday season?
Let me see. I'm a mix. I just do what feels natural or things that I like to do. I mean, I have for years we celebrated. My dad was Italian, and we always would have the whole fish thing on Christmas Eve. Like, did we ever have anything else? Like, no, you got to do the fish. And now I'm not a really big fish eater, so I'm like, okay, so I'll have the salad and maybe the spaghetti, but then keep the fish away from me. But what I would do is I would fill up my plate with shrimp because I like those. I was like, other stuff, no.
Well, we'll bring more brown belts to your party.
Right.
The brown belts are in charge of salad.
I missed it. What did the brown belts bring?
The brown belts brought... Wait, no, that was the green belts, wasn't it? Was that the brown belts? The brown belts brought salad. Or green belts.
You would think the green belts would bring salad, you know?
Here you go. Brown belts.
I don't
want to
eat the green belts.
I don't know if I want to eat a brown belt salad.
Yeah, but
I
you know what? What is the belt that brings the lasagna? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. I guess... We should have the white and I guess if a school has red belts, the white and red belts can get together and make lasagna to bring. There you go.
Oh.
Exactly.
There you go.
I've got one that's red and black belt. Boy, he's going to be pretty confused.
Oh my God!
What's the red belt spring?
The red there aren't a red belt in this one for at least Sensei Daryl's thing. But I was just saying, you know, if there were red belts. I know Taekwondo has red belts, I think. Any Taekwondo people out there want to call in? Yeah, I want to hear from the Dojangs out there. You know, if there are any Taekwondo people listening, you know, give us a call and let us know what you guys do at your Dojang. So, yay. Then April says, and then we make the janitor clean up. April, if you're still listening, what rank is the janitor? I want to know what rank the janitors are. Should be the white belts, right? No, I'm kidding. White belts. The white belts are like, we're not going to class anymore.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but see, so that's part of paying their dues.
That's right.
You know, it's
that's
true.
Right.
I mean, I was brought up that if you were the lowest rank, you were the one pouring tea during dinners if the class went out. You were the one pouring tea. You were the last one to eat. You had to wait for everybody to take a bite of food or take a drink first, and you ate in accordance to seniority. I was brought up that way. At home, I was brought up that way in the martial arts. And, you know, if people want to learn culture as well as their martial art, then if that's the culture of that martial art, then you got to learn it. Go through it. That's for sure. Awesome. All right. Let's go to England. So, Bob, do you want to do England or shall I do England?
Why don't you do England? I'll do Egypt.
Okay. All right. So I'm sure there are a lot of English listeners out there. I'm only going to do a few because there's a lot. But one of England's customs during the season is mummering. I'd always wondered what a mummer was because, you know, there's a song out there called the Mummer's Dance, and I was like, what the heck's a mummer?
Right, Lorena McKennitt, yeah.
Yeah, Lorena McKennitt, and I love the song. I absolutely love it, but I had no idea what a mummer was. So a mummer was a term that was given to people, and this was during the Middle Ages. Mummers were people that put on masks and acted out Christmas plays, and these plays are still performed in towns and villages. So that's a mummer. And the English gift giver is not Santa Claus, it's Father Christmas. He wears a long red or green robe and leaves presents in stockings, kind of like our Santa Claus. However, the gifts are not usually opened until the afternoon of Christmas Day. And the gifts in the stockings are actually left for people on Christmas Eve. So not like Christmas Day midnight, you know, like when Santa Claus comes in the Western world, that kind of thing. So pretty interesting. Now, Christmas in England began around 596 AD when St. Augustine landed on the shores with monks who wanted to bring Christianity to the Anglo-Saxons. Did not know that. Let's see. Now, in it used to be that instead of the stockings that we know that get hung by the fireplace, children would leave an empty stocking or pillowcase hanging at the edge of the bed, not at the fireplace. So interesting. Now here's another tradition. The day after Christmas in England is called Boxing Day because boys used to go around collecting money in clay boxes, and when the boxes were full, they broke them open. And let's see here. Christmas dinner in England was usually eaten at midday on Christmas Day, during daylight, not at night. And let's see, how many more are there? Oh, there's only a couple more. Okay. In England, the only thing that people ate on the day before Christmas feast was, I don't know if I'm saying this right, frumenty, which is a kind of porridge made from corn. Sounds tasty already. I love anything made from corn. Over the years, Over the years, the recipe has changed, though. The recipe over the years changed to having eggs, fruit, spice, lumps of meat, and dried plums added to the corn porridge. And then the whole mixture was wrapped in cloth and boiled. This is how plum pudding began. Interesting. I had no idea. And the traditional Christmas dinner in England is or was, I don't know if it is or was, but the traditional Christmas dinner is roast turkey with vegetables and sauces. For is a rich, fruity Christmas pudding with brandy sauce. Mince pies.
Ooh, anything with brandy, I'm for it.
I know, it's good, huh? Sounds good. Mince pies and pastries filled with a mixture of chopped dried fruit were also on the menu. Sounds really good. And let's see. In England, they also elect boy bishops in commemoration of St. Nicholas's compassion for children. These mock bishops were allowed to do the duties of the ecclesiastic except deliver the mass. That's interesting. Huh. Yeah. So that's just some of the things from England. Now, there's more information from somebody named Susanna Austin, and I'll just go ahead and read it. And this is what she writes. One point I would like to raise is how Christmas is celebrated in England. As an English family living in rural England, we have the pleasure of a traditional English Christmas with all the trimmings each year. You mentioned the Christmas trees and the evergreen branches. The Christmas trees are a tradition we adopted from Germany during Victoria's reign, and the branches and mistletoe and holly are for symbolic reasons. As Christmas is a religious festival, many people here still attend Midnight Mass on Christmas Eve, and this is usually seen as the start of all those festivities. Again, the reason presents are not opened until afternoon is that we wait until after morning Mass. The description of the gluttonous amounts consumed by the average person at Christmas dinner is very sparse, I guess. Typically, there are two roasted meats, one being either goose, traditional, or turkey, American, covered in bacon and stuffed with sausage meat. Oh, be so
it's
my
gotta
heart.
Be good. Gotta be good.
Oh, my God.
If it's covered in bacon and stuffed with sausage, that sucker's gotta be good.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Next thing to do then is just deep fry it.
Oh, heck, yes. I would do that. I would so be on that. The other meat she mentions is being a gammon. What's a gammon? G-A-M-M-O-N, gammon? I don't know. Somebody looked that up. But anyway, a variety of seasonal vegetables, but essential are roast potatoes and Brussels sprouts.
Oh, a gammon. It's meat from the hind legs of a pig that has been cured in the same way as bacon. So, yeah, the gammon's a yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Go gammon. Yes.
Go gammon. Go turkey wrapped in bacon.
And fried.
And fried.
Ooh, and deep fried, yeah. Don't forget deep fried. And stuff with
deep
sausage.
Deep fried.
And sausage.
Can't forget sausage, too.
Mm. Can't forget sausage.
Hail
All
to the
right.
pig, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Speaking of sausages, they also have kilted sausages, what we would call as pig in blankets. Now, for dessert, Christmas pudding with brandy butter, brandy custard cream, is served, and the pudding is so rich in alcohol that it is usually ignited before serving.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Mince pies not only contain dried fruit, but also suet and brandy. It almost sounds like, what is the Scottish thing with suet in it and everything else? It's in a stomach. What's it called?
Haggis.
Haggis. Anyway.
Yes, haggis.
I haven't tried haggis yet, but I've had a couple people say that it's actually pretty good, depending. So, anyway. Christmas cake is also eaten and is traditionally made a couple of months before Christmas and matured by regularly feeding it brandy.
Oh my God!
I can see the person that's in charge of that job. Yep, one,
I know,
two,
really.
Three, six for you, two, three, four for me.
Yeah, there you go. I take lunch in the bin. I think it's time to feed the cake. Okay, we're feeding the cake. All right. Incidentally, Boxing Day, we got corrected on this. Boxing Day derives its name from the practice of opening the alms boxes in church and distributing the money collected amongst the poor in the parish. So that was a correction on some of the things on England. So thanks to Susanna Austin for that. Awesome.
Ooh,
cool. Well, look, I'm curious about Egypt, Bob. You mentioned Egypt, so I'm curious about
that. Yeah, well, there's a couple things I want to mention. It's funny, we were talking about things wrapped in bacon. Today, you posted a picture of tater tots wrapped in bacon. Who does that?
Yep. I don't know, but I sure want to try it. I would so give myself a heart attack.
Did I miss that one? She posted food and I didn't see it?
Yeah, I know. It's on my page. It's tater tots.
No.
Bacon.
Oh, wait. Oh, my God. Tater tots wrapped in bacon?
Aren't those?
This is a must try.
No. Look at that, folks. Go to my Facebook page. My Facebook page is open. I don't, have funky, like, I only share certain things with certain people restriction on Facebook. So go to my page and scroll down a little bit on my profile page, and you'll see sweet bacon tater tots.
Oh, man.
Oh, my
God.
Oh, my mouth is watering.
I can see some of the comments on today's show, the way we've been bringing up alcohol. Somebody's going to post, do you guys realize you have a problem?
Well, April just messaged me and she said, I think y'all have been drinking brandy before the show.
Thanks, April.
They're all sending instant messages to figure out when they're going to do the intervention.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think y'all
God.
Have been Oh,
I
and,
just
and
read a recipe the other day. This is a Scottish recipe for, it's like a treat, a dessert, whatever. It's called black bun. And at the end of the year.
Wait. That usually happens in martial arts school if you don't eat it. So.
At the end of the year when they celebrate Hogmanay, they have this dessert, and you can make this dessert like 6 months ahead of time, and what you keep doing is, it's kind of like on the fruitcake.
That's pretty fresh when it gets there.
Kind of like on the fruitcake principle, you just keep pouring brandy over it.
Holy moly. And it turns it black, or is it already black?
Yeah, it turns it black.
Well,
got raisins, there's raisins and currants, so there's dark fruit in it. There's, ground allspice, ginger, whatever. But, you can drop a little brandy on this every day. They usually make it, like, a couple of weeks before the new year, but, yeah, that sounded pretty good to me.
Wow.
April wanted to add, she's like, I got it. I think April's got a prize for those women that that have the picture of the nutcrackers, bacon wrapped in crackers.
Bacon wrapped in what?
Bacon wrapped what?
Bacon wrapped nutcrackers.
Nice.
Oh God! All right.
You could just bacon wrap a bunch of nuts and give it to them.
Yeah. Right. Bacon wrapped pistachios. Anything wrapped in bacon is good. I know. Bacon wrapped brandy. Come on. Throw some bacon. Although I could have sworn I read someplace about slices of bacon being put in like some drink that's similar to like Bloody Marys. I would do that. I would so do that.
Didn't
like
somebody try and come up with a bacon martini?
Yeah, yeah, and I'd be afraid of it. Okay, now that I just made it sound like I need an intervention. Okay, our phone number here. Our phone
number. We're not sending our kids to that school, that's for sure. Did you hear her on the radio the other night? That woman
really
has a drinking problem.
I know. It's funny. One of my students yesterday brought me this nice card and this box, and she's like, "Merry Christmas, Sifu," and I open it. It's cider. It's hard cider, and I'm like, "Oh, you're gonna share this with me, right?" Oh wait, we gotta teach kids class. That's a no. Okay. what was our phone number? Okay, I was doing the phone number. Our phone number is 347-677-0699, 347-677-0699. We've got 20 minutes left to our broadcast, and we want to hear from you. Now, if you call in, please make sure you press 1, and that'll put you in the caller queue. Otherwise, we're just going to think that you're listening, because we do have people, a lot of people that call in just to listen. So, you know, if we don't see the little caller cue pop up on my control board when you press 1, I'm just going to assume you're listening. So with that said, someone just pressed 1. We've got area code 937. 937, you're on Dynamic Dojo. Who's this?
My name is Maria Wilson.
Maria Wilson, what are you doing? This is my assistant, everybody. This
Hi.
Is the greatest woman in the world next to my wife right here.
Right on.
Yes.
Welcome, Simple.
Woo! Can I just say that, and since they know this, but turkey bacon is the best over pork bacon.
Turkey bacon's not real. Tell her turkey bacon is not real.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
See, I told you, Maria.
Yeah. You know, didn't they, like, years ago, they used to have this stuff that was I forgot what it was called, but it was bacon, but it wasn't made from pork. It was something like, it was processed from, like, turkey, chicken, and some other stuff, and they called it, like, I don't know, near bacon. I don't know what they called it.
Near bacon?
I don't know. I remember that my mom used to buy it, right? Like, when my dad's blood pressure skyrocketed, she's like, that's it, we're going to let the bacon. Because Dad was an everyday bacon or sausage egg guy. Every day I had bacon, and no wonder I love bacon.
What a
right?
guy. Love
what
that.
What a guy. Yeah. But then, you know, his blood pressure skyrocketed, and mom said, screw that, we're going to have turkey bacon, chicken bacon processed.
Yeah.
Well, Sifu, it's like making turkey out of tofu. Tofurkey? No, I want to make duck out of tofu and figure out what it's called.
Tofacon. Wow.
Oh,
I'm not going near that.
I think it's called, yeah.
Yeah.
We know
what it's called. Yeah. April says it's bacon. Bacon. That's right. Bacon. But, to tell you the truth, I've tried turkey bacon. I think it's good, but there's, you know, it misses, like, the wiggly, fatty characteristic of bacon. All right. How did we get on bacon? We're talking about the season. Maria, do you have any cool traditions that you observe for the season?
I mean, my family, we're pretty traditional. We go to church on Christmas Eve, and then normally Christmas Day, I go to my mom's side of the family. Well, this year we had my mom's side of the family early because my brother and his wife had just recently had twin boys. So we kind of had to celebrate them, our Christmas with them a little bit early. But this year, my cool tradition is after I get done with all my family, I go upstairs to my room, lock myself away in my room, and watch nothing but Doctor Who because they always have a Christmas episode every single year, so it's always, I always go and watch the Christmas episode of Doctor Who. Like, I'll just lock myself up in the room, and it'd be like a marathon of Doctor Who. So that's usually what I do for tradition-wise, but my church, we obviously celebrate Advent. Today I read the Advent, and I've been helping with our junior church. We're starting a junior church at my church with all the kids, and we had all the kids do a nativity scene in front of the church,
cool.
And that was the sermon. Yeah, that was the sermon today. And then after the church service, we had cake for Jesus and punch. Yeah.
Cool.
So that's probably going to be a new tradition. That we started this year because four of us are going to be starting junior church, so we wanted to get the kids involved with the Christmas service. So that's pretty much what I do. And normally give my sensei something for Christmas. So that's about it.
That's very cool.
And I think I give, since I can agree, but I probably give out the best presents I get out the coolest presents to him more than any other student does.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Very
that's my girl
cool.
right there.
Very cool.
Very cool.
So yeah.
Very neat. Cool.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, we are running. We might have to go over on the show a little bit, but technically we've only got about 10 minutes of live feed time over the Internet. I mean, we can still record afterwards, but before we get into Egypt, I do want to get this off of my chest, and this is about materialism amongst kids these days. It's like, don't get me started, right? And, you know, there's a new catchphrase that's going on around right now, and that catchphrase is affluenza. And this particular term, affluenza, is now being used to label people that that have behaviors that might not be too cool, that stem from having too much wealth, or towards kids that have wealthy, privileged parents that hardly ever set limits for them or something. And now one of the reasons why I want to kind of like rant a little bit about this affluenza is that, you know, Black Friday, come on, that's crazy. You know, in the shopping season, you've got people shoving each other and camping out for like 2 weeks. Yeah, right?
Now they're doing it. They're doing it Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, that is nuts. And, you know, and it's because, you know, I mean, you know, kudos to parents to wanting to keep their kids happy. But, you know, I'm sorry, if you're going to go to a store to get a Christmas present, you know, and, you know, you're fighting and camping out and stuff like that. And then guess what? You know, these kids are going to grow up thinking that if they scream and whine and get for the latest, you know, toy or something, that mommy or daddy is going to go out and camp out at Walmart or Target and punch somebody to get it for them, you know? You don't want kids thinking that Christmas gifts show their love for their children. And I'm, you know, I kind of have to rant about this because I'm seeing too much materialism. Not only do I hate going to stores during this type of season because, you know, people are grumpy when you go into these stores. People are grumpy. People are yelling at the staff. And, you know, and all for what? To get that latest Game Boy for their son or to get the latest, you know, $300 pair of sneakers, you know, or whatever for their kid because a kid had whined about it. You know, all the other kids have one and blah, this is what I want for Christmas. And it just drives me insane. And, you know, I just want to just say to all the young people out there, remember what the season's all about. The season's about giving, not receiving. And, it, you know, you get more of a gift that way, youngsters, when you give that feeling. It stays with you. I've met too many, you know, kids get their favorite, like, Transformer thing, And then 2 weeks later, it's in the bottom of the toy box, and they don't play with it ever again.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Meanwhile, he's still nursing that black eye he got trying to get that Transformer toy. So, what's the point, right? And, you know,
yeah.
This affluenza thing has gone so far in that people are using it as a defense in court. I kind of want to read this story. Where,
oh, my goodness. I think I know what you're talking about. The
yeah,
one from the other
right?
day?
Yeah, the one from the other day.
That's just ridiculous.
It is, but for the listeners out there that haven't heard about it, this is about a Texas teen named Ethan Couch, and he claimed that his affluenza, quote-unquote, meant he was blameless driving drunk and causing a crash that killed four people. Okay, he was driving drunk and he killed four people, and he claims to be blameless because he has affluenza. Simply put, he claims that his condition stemmed from having wealthy, privileged parents who never set limits for him. Judge Jim Boyd sentenced him Tuesday to 10 years of probation, but no jail time, saying that she would work to find him a long-term treatment facility. But Eric Boyd, who lost his wife and daughter in the crash, said, said on Anderson Cooper's 360 show, there are absolutely no consequences for what occurred that day. The primary message has to absolutely be that money and privilege can't buy justice in this country. Now, this last paragraph made no sense. Mark Garagos, who is a psychologist, explains that the family sued for $20 million. Now, is affluenza real, or is it a way for coddled children and adolescents to evade consequences for their actions? Now, not surprisingly, this affluenza crap does not appear in a diagnostic and statistical manual of mental disorders. And, you know, in my opinion, I think it's ridiculous. You know, where he claims to not take responsibility for killing four people, driving drunk because his parents were rich and didn't set any limits for him. What a load of, pardon my French, bullshit. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just a load of bullshit. And, you know, kids, and if kids are listening, I just swore again.
God. Sounds to me she's pretty fluent in French.
Yeah. Sorry, kids, but that's how passionate I am about, you know, observing the season for what it's supposed to represent. Not,
mm-hmm.
you know, not, this is what I want for Christmas. This is what I want for Christmas. And getting all like, God, the stuff I got from Grandma really sucks. All I got was a sweater. Come on, she knitted that for you. Give me a break. You know what I mean? So anyway, that's it of my ranting. I just wanted to touch on that a little bit. You know, materialism is not the holiday season. So, you know, take note, kids, or affluenza people. Take note. He wins. All right. We've got about 10 minutes. Let's go to Egypt. We might have to go overtime on the show. But listeners out there, if you want to hear the rest of the show, we get this archived, so 10 minutes after we go off the air, you'll be able to listen to everything. So, anyhow, let's go to Egypt.
Very cool. Well, in Egypt, the Coptic Church is an Orthodox church, and in the Coptic Church, Christmas is celebrated not during the month of December, but it's celebrated on January 7th. Advent
wow.
is observed for 40 days, and during the period, people are expected to fast, eating no meat, poultry, or dairy products. Some people only do this during the week of the Advent. On the eve of Christmas, everyone goes to church wearing a completely new outfit. The Christmas service ends at midnight with the ringing of church bells. Then people go home to eat a special Christmas meal known as fata, F-A-T-A, which consists of bread, rice, garlic, and boiled meat.
That
on Christmas morning, what?
That sounds good, too.
It says anything with meat.
Yeah.
On,
and garlic. And rice.
And booze.
And booze.
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes. I like tomatoes. Anyway. Okay, Bob,
on Christmas morning, people in Egypt visit friends and neighbors. They take with them kaik, K-A-I-K, which is a type of shortbread, which they take with them to give to the people they visit. Let's see, with the people they visit and eaten with a drink known as short bat. S-H-O-R-T-B-A-T.
Short bat.
I could go really far with that one. You know that, Sifu.
Yeah. Let's move on. Let's go move away from the short bat.
Christmas Day is a public holiday for Christians. And there is the Egypt portion of the show.
I heard about short bat, so I'm looking it up right now. Let's see here. Dang it, and someone didn't answer it on answers. Let's see here. Short bat. Oh, wait. Let me see if it explains it. Okay. Short bat drink recipes in Urdu. Is this going to be in Urdu? I won't be able to read it if it is, but let's see here. Come on, load. I really want to know what short bat is. I'm curious now. It's not giving it to me. Oh, wait.
I was going to say
nope.
Short bat. I knew her.
Short bread? No, there is no short bread. Oh, well. Okay. Well, let's move on then. Let's move on to Germany and a little bit more. We are going to go a few minutes over, listeners. It's 7:57 now, and our live feed ends at 8 p.m. So feel free to listen to the archive show and skip over to the end if you want to hear the rest of it. Okay, so let's go to Germany now. Now, I would really prefer that any of our German friends listening out there call in and share with us. So I'm just going to read what I got off the Internet, what Bob got off the Internet, actually. So, Christmas in Germany. Christmas preparations often begin on the eve of December 6th. People often set aside special evenings for baking spiced cakes and cookies and making gifts and decorations. Little dolls of fruit are traditional Christmas toys. Oh, okay, so you make the dolls out of fruit. Okay, I get it. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. Children leave letters on their windowsills for Christkind, a winged figure dressed in white robes and a golden crown who distributes gifts. Sometimes the letters are decorated with glue and sprinkled with sugar to make them sparkle. Germans make beautiful gingerbread houses and cookies. The German Christmas tree pastry, known as Christbaumgebäck. I don't know how to say that. German listeners, please help me out here. I'm slammering. But,
well, Sifu, can I interrupt you for 1 second?
Sure.
Anybody listening live, I just want to wish them a Merry Christmas if they don't get a chance to listen. And be safe. The DUI checkpoints are out. Do not drink and drive.
Yes.
Have a designated driver and be safe. Okay, sorry I interrupted you, but I had to get that in before we went off live feed.
Yeah. With only 30 seconds, we all want to wish all of our listeners out there a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Kwanzaa, and everything. And thank you so much for listening during this past year. We hope to make 2014 just as fun, if not funner, for all of you. So Merry Christmas. All right, let's move on to Germany again. All right. Christbaumgebäck. I don't know how to say it, but it's a white dough that can be molded into shapes and baked into tree decorations. Now, in parts of Germany, people believe that the Christ child sends a messenger on Christmas Eve and that he appears as an angel in a white robe and crown bearing gifts. This angel is called the Christkind. There is also a Christmas Eve figure called, I'm not even going to try, It looks like Weihnachtsmann or whatever. I don't know how to say it. But German, please help out. I'm floundering. Okay. But the Christmas man, he looks like Santa Claus and all brings gifts. Some homes in Germany have several Christmas trees, not just one. And all towns across Germany, and in all towns across Germany, they can be seen glittering and glowing. In Germany, they hang up advent wreaths of holly with four red candles in the center. They light one candle each Sunday and the last on Christmas Eve. Children count the days until Christmas using an advent calendar. They open the window each day and find a Christmas picture inside. The traditional, it said the same thing about Christkind. It's another way of putting it. Another tradition is some homes, a room is locked up before Christmas. On Christmas Eve, the children go to bed but are woken up at midnight by their parents and taken down to the locked room. The door is open and they see the tree all lit up with piles of parcels on little tables. And also in Germany, boys dress up as kings and carry a star around the village singing carols. And that was actually, I think this was on a website, and this also came with corrections. And this correction
was... The history of Christmas.
Yeah. And these corrections were submitted by Claudia Hoppel, and she says the German Christmas traditions that were listed above, the ones I just read, were not quite like that. She says that Christmas preparations actually start before December 1st. December 6th is Nikolaustag, Claus Day. If you leave out a shoe or a boot outside the door on December 5th, the next morning you'll find presents if you were a good kid or a rod if you were a bad kid. She also said that the Advent wreath is not hung up but placed on a table lying flat. How could you light the candles otherwise? And then the Catholic boys and girls dress up as kings for Three Kings Day, which is January 6th, and they sing carols and collect money for donations to different projects. So those are just a number of things that he corrected about the Christmas in Germany. So on December 6th is Nikolaustag, St. Claus Day. Awesome. Well, I think that's it for some of our Christmas traditions around the world. I wish we would have been able to get to places like Sweden, and other Europe, and Spain. You know, Spain has a wonderful traditions over there. Italy, it would have been great to get some of their traditions, but maybe next year, next year we'll do all Europe and see what happens. Very cool. Well, since we are in recording mode of our show, I don't know, Bob, what do you think? You think we should just wrap it up?
I think so. It was a wonderful show. We had some great callers and some good listeners, and it was so much fun. And thank you, Wayne, for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. I enjoyed it.
Well.
Yes, and thanks for calling,
Maria.
We had
a lot of fun.
Thanks for calling. And joining me, Maria. It was a pleasure to have you. And thanks to April and Rose for calling in, and to the listeners that were on the chat board. I think there were four listeners that were regularly on the chat board for the whole show until we had to go off live feed. But wonderful show. And on behalf of Sifu Bob and Sensei Wayne and Marie, who's still on the line with us, we want to wish all of our listeners and everyone out there a very Merry Christmas, a happy holiday, however you choose to celebrate it. I hope that everyone stays safe. And remember, don't drink and drive. So we'll see everybody next time. And hopefully we'd like to have you as a regular guest sometime, since they will tell a little bit more about Shinru and anything else that you do. We'd love to have you as a regular guest. So
awesome. Absolutely.
Hopefully we can start with you in the next few months. Awesome. All right. also Merry Christmas to everybody. We are having a show next week. We are having a show next week. Stay tuned for who the guest or subject may be. We talk about New Year's Eve resolutions. Hey, that's
ooh, great. More alcohol.
No, that's an idea. I think we should do it. New Year's resolutions. Huh. All right. Might have to do that. Okay. So tune in during the week and on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page, and we'll see whether or not we'll do it or not. I don't know. I think it's
I will be here now, so we'll see.
Cool. Well, you know, for New Year's Eve resolutions, we'd love to have you back for that as another guest co-host. I think that would be fun. That would be so
fun. That would
just
laugh.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what do you say we do it?
Absolutely.
All right. So next week, December 29th, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, we will be doing a New Year's show. So we'll discuss resolutions, why people make resolutions, and if you've actually made a resolution and have actually followed through and have been successful with it, we want to hear from you. We want to know your secret. All right. So we'll talk to everybody next week. We'll see everyone then.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.